Welcome to Manage Your Money God's Way. We are from Compass Catholic Ministries. Our goal is to show you how to get totally out of debt and live a debt-free life. How do we do it? There's no smoke and mirrors. We use the Bible as the workbook. Go to Navigating Your Finances God's Way. You'll find it at compasscatholic.org. Click on Books and Studies and browse around Navigating Your Finances God's Way. Click on Participants and you'll get to see the 9 topics that are discussed over the 9 weeks, plus worksheets that you'll be using throughout the study. Joining into the discussion are the co-founders of the ministry, John and Evelyn Bean. And today, the topic, the tips, the suggestions we'd like to share is how to avoid the stress as you go through preparing for Christmas. And you know, John, sometimes I feel that people create their own stress when it comes to shopping and preparing for Christmas.
Well, you know, we're finished with Black Friday and the buying season is in full swing. But you got to put together a financial plan for the holidays that's going to keep your bank account in the black. It's nice for Santa to wear red, but you don't want your bank account to be red.
So we're going to talk about some ways for you to control your spending sprees and to keep some sense of financial sanity in your Christmas spending this year.
So the question I have, John, you mentioned putting together a financial plan for the holidays. When do you do that? Do you do that November 1st, December 1st?
January 1st.
I think you need to do it the first of the year so that you've got it throughout the whole year so you can kind of plan. But I guarantee you, probably 75% of the people that are listening out there still don't have a plan. So they need to do it now.
So is this the same kind of thought process of saving for a vacation?
Yes.
You don't save the month before you leave. You save a year before you leave. You plan ahead.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. It's our budget recommendation of taking whatever is a yearly expense and breaking it down into months and saving a certain percentage every month so that when the spending comes around, you have everything saved and you don't have to go into debt.
So when you're putting up together this financial plan, you're breaking it down how much I'm going to spend for my husband or my wife or each child.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, but that's why I think it's important for people to keep track how much they spend this year, because if they have the aggregate total and they know it includes husband, wife, and 3 kids plus travel to grandma's house plus the Christmas party, then they kind of know that's probably what they'll be spending on next year.
Or they can go back and maybe analyze their credit card bills from last year and see, well, I spent this much at this big store and this big store. And I don't normally go buy stuff at those big stores, so that's all Christmas, you know. And if the grocery bill is $300 more in December than it was any other month of the year, then you got to factor that in. It's like going on vacation. If you think you're going to spend $2,400 for a week's vacation someplace, then you should start saving 12 months ahead and you save $200 a month. And by the time the vacation comes up, it's all paid for because you've got that money.
You mentioned travel to grandma. So in this financial plan for Christmas, it's beyond gifts.
Oh, yeah. It's anything you spend on Christmas. It's travel. It's decorations for the house.
Okay.
It's extra food. It's parties.
Travel is going to put you in debt just as quickly as buying, some great big present. And maybe even faster.
I was going to say, depending on how many children are traveling and where you're traveling to.
Exactly.
So this article we were reading in U.S. News, the first thing they suggested, and I thought this was real interesting, was to check your credit score. Now, that's a weird way to start your holiday shopping, don't you think?
Yeah, I do. I really do.
But their thinking was, if you're already in trouble with your credit score, then overspending on Christmas is just going to make things worse. So if you check your credit score beforehand, then that's an incentive for you to keep some sanity in your holiday shopping, which I think is a good idea.
If my credit score looks good, that doesn't give me a blank check to go out and spend all I want to spend for Christmas. You know, I don't want people to get that kind of an idea.
If your credit score looks good, you want to not overspend so you can keep it good.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely.
It's a positive reinforcement.
I absolutely agree.
As long as they think of it that way.
Yeah.
As a positive reinforcement.
But their point was, if you're motivated to maintain or improve your good credit score, you'll be less likely to overspend or rack up credit card purchases that you can't pay off at the end of the month, or even open new lines of credit when you're presented with deals. You know, when you get into the store and they say, we'll give you a 30% discount if you open a credit card today.
Yeah, yeah. You know, there's a lot of different ways that you can check your credit report out there. You can go to creditreport.com or freecreditreport.com. Or there's organizations out there where they'll do it for free, like Credit Karma is a free service, and it helps you keep track of what your report is, and they'll give you a weekly or a monthly email of what your score is. And, you know, I think that anybody who doesn't have some type of a credit monitoring program in place is, in today's world, they're asking for trouble. Most of those credit monitoring agencies will provide you with your credit score and give you a free credit report and stuff like that. So,
but if you can get it for free, it's better than spending $14 or $15 a month per person.
Absolutely.
So the second suggestion they came up with, and I totally agree with this one, is decide who and how much. Who are you going to buy for, and how much are you going to spend on each person?
Are you going to buy just for your immediate family, or are you going to do the extended family plus a bunch of neighbors and friends and the guy that stands on the corner and, you know,
the guy you wave to when he's walking his dog and he walks past your house? But the point is, if you have a lot of people, then you can only spend a little bit on each one. So they called it wide or deep. Are you going to go deep on a few people or wide on a whole bunch of people?
What you're going to end up giving them is less than useful in most cases.
It could be much less than useful in most cases.
Yeah, yeah.
But the tendency to overspend is going to be really hard to resist if you have a huge bunch of people to buy for. So that's why it's important to make that list only the people that you really want to buy presents for.
So then you just take your budget and divide by the number of people that are on your list, and that'll tell you how much you've got to spend for each person.
And that was their third suggestion.
And if you do that, then you might want to massage that list a little bit, because you might not spend the same amount of money on a 3-year-old that you would spend on a 30-year-old.
True.
You know, so you...
The 3-year-old gets more, right?
You want to massage that list a little bit and make sure that you're going to be able to accomplish what you want to accomplish with it.
And you're talking about gifts, John, but again, we really want to include everything in there, like Steve said earlier, gifts, travel, meals, decorations, even donations that are special for Christmas time.
75% of all the donations that are made to nonprofit organizations occur in December.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, it's end of the year taxes,
end
and everybody's got
taxes.
The holiday spirit and all that kind of stuff. The key is to define a dollar amount for each item on your list, and then once you hit that dollar amount, stop shopping. If you hit your dollar amount for Joe Blow doesn't get any more presents other than the one you just bought.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, otherwise you're going to go way into debt. Another thing you should do is kind of window shop a little bit. Now, that could be dangerous too, because there's a lot of people who, when they're window shopping, are going to buy everything that they see. But that's not the purpose. That's not what we're trying to accomplish with this kind of window shopping. What you're trying to do is to scope out purchases in advance of buying. And you can use online shopping carts or wish lists as a way to target the things you want, but it also will keep you from making impulse purchases, because you can set it up in the shopping cart and then you come back to it.
And not check out.
Yeah, don't check out, but you come back to it 3 or 4 days later or a week later or whatever and reevaluate everything that's in the cart. Well, do I need this? Do I need that? Do I need this? Do I need that? And there's, in a lot of cases, you're going to be able to X away a lot of things that really won't work for you.
Now, we don't do all that much online shopping, but I was interested when I read that article was to find out that some retailers will email coupons to people that have things in their shopping cart to entice them to buy.
To go ahead and make
and
that purchase.
Go ahead and make the purchase.
Oh, I have to try that.
So that might... It's not like we shop that much.
Well, I had Lava soap in my wish list for about 3 months. I never got a coupon for that.
Do you know what Lava soap is?
Yes, 20 Mule Team Borax.
Yeah.
No.
Yes, has pumice in it.
Pumice.
We used to use it in our garage at home after working out in the yard.
Yeah.
And that was like using sandpaper.
They don't sell it anymore. Yeah, the only place you can
buy
it is online.
You can't buy it in stores.
We're going to look now. Go ahead. Keep talking. I'm gonna find it. I'll order you a bar for Christmas.
We already bought 3 bars. But the window shopping also applies if you're shopping in a real brick-and-mortar store. You should take a walk through the store, scout out what you want to buy, leave your purse or wallet at home, and visit the stores which are most likely to have the gifts you want to buy. Because if you're window shopping, you don't want to buy them, then you want to stop and think about it.
Right, right.
So both of these methods, either putting stuff in your wish list or your online shopping basket or doing window shopping in a real hard brick-and-mortar store, help you avoid the scenario where they buy one gift and then later find out something better or something less expensive.
So we're going to do all of this pre-shopping, window shopping, and we're going to have all these wish lists, and we're going to know which stores have which item and how much it costs. And
you've already decided how many people you're going to buy for and what you're going to spend on each person.
Right, right. So then we sit down and we do all our shopping on one day.
Yes, or you go to the store and do it all on one day.
Okay. Pick a day and we'll go do our shopping and we'll make sure that we take our list with us. Don't forget your list, because then everything you've been doing is just for naught.
Yeah, if you go without a list, everything is fair game to buy.
Yeah. And then get her done.
I think the list is really the key there, because if you're shopping without a list, you could overbuy for one person, or you could forget that you forgot somebody.
You forget?
Yeah.
Okay.
And having a list helps you stay on track and complete what you need to get done, not necessarily wander around the store with that glazed look in your eyes thinking, what am I going to do?
Well, today we are sharing tips and suggestions on how to avoid that stress that usually is attached to the Christmas shopping season. And speaking of shopping season, I've got an online shopping tip for you that's going to help Compass Catholic Ministries. It's called Amazon Smile. Now, Amazon Smile is a website operated by Amazon with the same products, the same prices, and the same shopping features as Amazon.com and Amazon Prime. And when you shop on Amazon Smile, the Amazon Smile Foundation will donate 0.5% of the purchase price of eligible products to support Compass Catholic Ministries. On your first visit to AmazonSmile.com, please choose Amazon Catholic Ministries, Inc. when you're prompted to choose your charity. So, John, we're discussing ways, some tips for you to avoid the stress this Christmas shopping season.
For some people, it can be really, really stressful to do that. We're trying to reduce that. So you've got your list. You've done all your window shopping. You didn't buy anything yet because you were checking out the prices.
You were making your attack plan.
Making a plan, okay. You should make a plan for your credit card usage also. You have to have a budget for the holidays that includes a spending plan for everything. So without cash in hand, you're going to have to use your credit cards for the purchases for your presents. That can be a disaster come January when the bills start rolling in. So there's nothing wrong with using credit cards for your holiday shopping if you have a budget and you're planning on paying it off at the end of the month.
So my budget needs to include all my presents and how I'm going to pay things off once I charge them on my credit card.
Absolutely. And, you know, because you've been making a list and you've been checking your prices and all that kind of stuff, it makes it easier for you to know how much exactly you're going to spend because you've got your list. Now you can go through and add it up before you even start buying. I think that's an important thing to do because that'll help you not get into too much debt.
You know, it's really easy for people to overspend using their credit cards and just assume they'll be able to pay it off sometime in the next year. But if you plan that way, you're really asking for trouble because you don't have any guarantee that you're going to be able to pay that off. You don't know what else is going to happen. Maybe you're going to have an appliance break, or there's going to be a illness in the family, or an injury, or your car needs new tires, or there's always ways that money's going to be needed somewhere. And if you've racked up a lot of debt at Christmas and you're just planning on paying it off, you may not be able to do that. And that's very, very dangerous.
So what are your thoughts on layaway plans that some stores have offered?
Totally agree with it.
Okay.
Because
does that force you to start shopping earlier for the sales?
It forces you to start shopping earlier. You can pay a little bit every month or every week, and it lets you do it on your pace. And if you don't pay for it, then you don't get it. So it incentivizes you to save that money and pay for it ahead of time rather than putting it on your credit card.
I think the only caveat to that is that if you buy something and you start paying on it on a monthly basis, and then halfway through it, you decide you don't want to buy that thing, then there's a lot of hoops you're going to have to go through to return the merchandise, you know, mm-hmm. even though you don't actually have it. You know, and I think that could be an issue where people will forget about returning it. They'll just stop paying on it. And so that's the only concern I have with those layaway plans. Otherwise, I think they're a great idea. Even better would be just layaway cash.
Well, I was going to mention that, but before I ask you that question, I remember last year there was a program that had a layaway program, but if you missed a payment, the interest rate escalated. It's almost like you buy the furniture, don't have to pay for 10 years.
It was
the same way with the layaway plan. After Christmas, okay. If you miss a payment, then your interest escalated.
Yeah.
But back to what you were getting to, and this is kind of old school Christmas club accounts at banks.
Yeah.
I mean, your thoughts on something like that? It may not be called Christmas account, but do you open up a separate account at a bank?
I would. If I need a little bit of extra discipline in order to be able to make sure I save enough money for Christmas, I would open up a second or a third, savings account at the bank. And most of them will let you have more than one. Mm-hmm. And the best way to do it is to have the bank automatically transfer money from your checking account or your savings account into that extra savings account. So it happens automatically, because a lot of people, left to their own devices, they're going to skip weeks. Oh, it's not a good week this week. You know, I can't do it this week. But if you have it done automatically, then you're almost forced to make that happen. And come Christmas time, then you're going to be happy that you were forced to make that happen.
You know, too many people think that the money's just magically going to appear in the next year. They don't have it this year to save and plan ahead. But why would they think they're going to have it next year to pay off the bills?
Right.
So it's kind of a backwards way of thinking. If I can't afford it now, I'm going to be able to afford it in the future and pay more because I'm paying interest. It just doesn't make any sense.
I agree with you. So the other thing is, you know, you've done all your window shopping and all that kind of stuff, but maybe there's still some alternatives for the store-bought gifts. Maybe you can skip store-bought gifts altogether if you're really financially strapped during the holidays. And, you know, that has some benefits beyond just saving money. You know, maybe you can make baked goods for the neighbors, or you can offer services like mowing the lawn once a month for an elderly neighbor or for family members. How about taking and creating a digital picture album of the fun times you've shared together during the previous year? You know, if you were together at Easter maybe, and you were together in the summer for a couple picnics, or you went on vacation or whatever, and then from Thanksgiving and, you know, maybe last Christmas. So those kinds of things. People don't think to do that, but from a standpoint of showing you care, and from a standpoint of being on the receiving end, that, you know, those are memories that I know that I had, but I don't have anything that puts it all together in one spot.
Any tangible reminders of that?
Yeah, exactly.
I like that.
Is there a teaching moment that you can share with your child at Christmas season, the ones that may have a side job of cutting a neighbor's yard or an allowance, get money they receive for their birthdays? Is there anything you can teach your children this Christmas so they don't go over the top as they grow older?
Well, there's always a chance to get them involved in some sort of an outreach project. I know at church we do a Christmas store for the community. It's not for the people of our parish.
Right.
We work through the local schools. And a lot of the children that go to our church are very surprised when they see the families coming in who need help in making Christmas for their family. And I think that that is an impact that will last them for a lifetime. Just seeing the abundance of gifts that the parish has provided for these people in the community that can't afford Christmas themselves.
I think that's a great idea, because we talk about that, but until you actually experience that and see a husband and wife or a mother come in with a child that really have needs, they can't afford a gift, even a pair of socks.
Yes.
So it does have an impact.
And I think, you know, this whole season from Thanksgiving to Christmas is a season of gratitude. And in creating something for your children, discussions about gratitude and how good they might have it compared to an elderly neighbor who needs his grass cut and can't get out there behind a lawnmower or whatnot, can't afford to hire somebody. It's a way to show maybe some appreciation for all that you have and transfer that to a neighbor who doesn't have so much. And
who really needs it.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's a great lesson that you can do for the kids. And, you know, there's a lot of different ways. You don't have to be able to mow grass. Maybe it's wash the car, or if you live up north, shovel the snow, or, you know, all those kinds of things that the kids can do and demonstrate, you know, a sense of gratitude for their well-being.
It reminds me of the last time I was in Pennsylvania visiting my sister. It's not a one-to-one correlation with what you were just talking about, but her neighbor turned 100 years old.
Bless her.
Bless her. God bless her. And she's living on her own all by herself and just taking care of herself. She doesn't drive anymore, but she's living alone. And your grandma and your aunt were like that, weren't they, mm-hmm. Steve?
My aunt, yes.
So my sister's roommate came home with a brilliant idea that we were going to blow up 100 balloons and hang them on the front of her house in her trees and in her fence and all that kind of stuff.
That was a brilliant idea until you said we were going to blow up 100 balloons.
And I had aching jaws by the time it was over. But the lady was so cute because she called us the next day and said thank you, and she really appreciated it and it meant a lot to her. But she couldn't understand why everybody was making a fuss over 100th birthday. She had no idea why this was such a big deal to people.
She hadn't talked to Al Roker yet, huh?
But it was so, you could tell that she really enjoyed it, and she left the balloons up until they all started dying and falling off the trees and everything. But that kind of neighborliness is what Christmas is all about, and we need to expose our children to doing more of that.
You know, the holiday season is closing fast, and there's still a little bit of time that we can take these proactive steps to avoid finding ourselves in a financially stressful situation. And once Christmas is finished, we highly suggest that you begin saving 1/12 of your Christmas budget every single month. Create that plan. Figure out how much you spent this year and then start saving so you have at least that amount for next year.
You know, I think the ones that don't do that, I don't think they realize what a joy it is come January, February, when that credit card bill comes.
Yeah. And it's zero.
It's zero. And those that do, share it with a friend. Tell them how fun it is to have that bill come in and it has a zero on the balance.
Well, even just being able to pay it off, you know the bill's there, but you've got the money in the bank to make that payment. You know, if you say that you can't afford to save 1/12 of your Christmas budget throughout the year, maybe you need to think about how you're going to cut back. If you can't save the money, maybe you should cut back on Christmas for next year.
Or cut back on other things so you can save for Christmas next year.
Yes, yeah. You know, after all, the buying frenzy that occurs every year at Christmas has absolutely nothing to do with that baby in the manger 2,000 years ago. The gift of God made man. The only one and true gift that we really need during this Christmas season. Stay blessed, everybody.
We are praying for you this Christmas season, that this is one that will be stress-free. Just keep in mind what the true meaning of this season is all about. It's not about how many gifts or how big the gifts that I buy. Now, if you'd like to share this program with a friend, just direct them to CompassCatholic.org and click on Compass On Air. We also post a summary of today's show. We list some of the highlights, some of the websites that we would refer you to. That's also located at compasscatholic.org, and that summary is called Podcast Summary. And before we leave you today, let's get to an email that we received this week. John and Evelyn, I have promised to help someone in our church financially for a certain period of time as they get back up on their feet. However, I've since learned that they're handling their money very unwisely. In truth, I really don't want to continue giving until they change their habits, but I have already verbally committed. What should I do?
You know, I think it's a blessing that you've been able to help these people financially. Probably where you missed the boat was if you had conditions on giving them the money, that should have been discussed well before this point. So if you had expectations, that should be decided when you actually gave them the money in the first place.
Since you didn't do that, I think that in this case, you should continue, but only if you have a discussion with the people and talk to them about managing their money wisely. And I'd ask them to go through the Compass Navigating Your Finances small group study and to learn and understand God's way of handling money, and then work with them in a one-on-one kind of situation to learn to be good money managers.
John and Evelyn, thank you so much. If you have a question or maybe you have a financial challenge that you're experiencing and you'd like some advice from John and Evelyn, by all means, email those questions to ask@compasscatholic.org. That's ask@compasscatholic.org. We want to thank you so much for listening. And remember, we post a brand new show each and every Wednesday morning at compasscatholic.org. You can also find past podcasts that you can download and listen at your leisure. This is Manage Your Money God's Way, and we are from Compass Catholic Ministries.